1, 2, 3, 4.
This is Buccaneers Total Access.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
With your host, TJ Reeves.
Fire the cannon!
On 620 WDAE, home of the Buccaneers.
Yes, here we are on a Friday night as the Bucs get set to take on the Carolina Panthers Sunday in Charlotte. Rematch of a Week 1 victory over those guys there from North Carolina and NFC South rivals. We look forward to talking about that, to talking about a lot of different things with number 57, Adam Hayward, who sits here tonight on Total Access. Good to see you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
For a lot of different reasons. First of all, you come in here with the team on a 3-game win streak. This is going to be good stuff tonight.
It is. It is. It feels good. You know, 3 games and getting 2 on the road, that's hard. And the NFL, to win on the road. I mean, I think our first one on the road, the record was like 1-7 or something like that. You know, and to get two back-to-back in a road is it's awesome.
Okay, so everybody wants to know this. I've been asking other players about this week. Earlier in the year, games could have gone either way. You know this. Giants, Cowboys, Redskins could have gone either way. You didn't win them. You go to the fourth quarter in Minnesota, you win the game. You battle with the Raiders, fourth quarter, win the game. You battle Sunday, fourth quarter, win the game. What's been the big difference these last 3 weeks for the positive?
Honestly, it's just, I mean, our offense obviously is playing great football all through the year, and they've kept us in the game. Defensively, we continue to do what we're doing, flying around and hitting people and making plays, and I think that's huge. Is in the end of those games, we've had big plays on defense, big interceptions, you know, to kind of seal the game. Prior to that, you know, they shouldn't have been in that situation. We shouldn't have been in that situation as far as points and letting them, you know, come back into a lot of those games when we were up by so many.
You know, there's some young guys on this team. You know, you're one of the veterans now. We were just joking that you're one of the guys that was back in 07 in the last playoff game for the Buccaneers. So you're a grizzled veteran. You're long in the tooth. But there's some young guys. Is there some merit? Is there some validity to you got to figure out how to win some of these and that you guys have begun to figure that out, especially the young guys together?
Definitely. I talk to Levante Lolo about that all the time. That he's a leader on this defense now. I mean, he's a rookie, but he came in here, and those guys aren't, you know, you can't look at them as rookies, and they can't play like rookies anymore. You know, they came into the NFL, and they're starting, or they're playing now. You know, it's time to play like a vet, play like Rondé or somebody that's been around for a while, like Josh or something.
Well, this team has been doing that. I mean, when you look back on last week's game and the contributions from guys like Doug Martin, rookie, Lavonte David, as you mentioned, rookie, Leonard Johnson, rookie, Laquan Lewis, late in the game interception, rookie. I mean, you're calling upon some younger guys or the youngest of the guys to make some big plays, and that's obviously something that you have to have. When they're out there playing, you want them to be at their best. They were at their best again Sunday.
Definitely. You know, that's one thing we pride ourselves on this team is young or old. I mean, that's relevant. You know, it's can you play football? You know, if you're somebody who can play, you're going to be on the field. And those guys have shown that they can play football, you know, at practice and obviously in games that, you know, you've seen. You know, when their number's called, they're stepping up. Leonard Johnson's making plays out there. So I don't mind having that guy line up at corner because I know he's going to make a play at some point through that game.
And by the way, this guy sitting with us, Adam Hayward, is a guy that makes a play. All right, so you got to give me credit because we went like 4 whole minutes before I asked you about the block punt for a touchdown. In some ways, I said this to the head coach on Monday, and I've been saying this to some Buck fans on and off the air this whole week. It was kind of poetic justice because Dakota almost got one in Dallas and got a 15-yard penalty for hitting the punter. You almost got one in Oakland and got a 15-yard penalty for hitting the punter. Dakota this time got the ball, took it right off his leg, if not took his leg out entirely, and you picked it up and ran it in. So there is justice in the world, Adam Hayward.
Definitely. It felt good. That's the first thing we said to each other. It's like we're out of the doghouse. we started our own, you know, almost block punt group. You know, it was getting to that point where we were slowly moving away from being the block punt guys
to the almost.
to the hold-up guys. It felt great, though, because, like you said, Dakota – missed an opportunity, then I missed opportunity just to show that, you know, we still are going 100 miles per hour, you know, put that behind us and, you know, go out there and try to make something happen and change the score of the game and the momentum. It was great.
I always love the insight on plays like this because that's kind of a – I don't want to say you weren't trying, you were trying to block the punt, but it's not always expected that you're going to get there. So in that moment where thud – there's the sound, and oh boy, there's the ball. Are you thinking, is it instinct that just takes over, pick it up, and run? What were you thinking, if anything, Sunday?
At first, when I was looping around and I saw Dakota, you know, going free, I said, oh no. I was like, don't let this happen again. You know, this is the last thing we need. And then when he blocked it, you know, I was looking around for the ball. I heard the thump, but didn't know where the ball was. And then I saw it, and it was between Biggers and myself picking it up. And I just kind of was like, I'm not going to let him do it. I was being selfish and just picked it up. Then once I picked it up, it was like, run as fast as you can. Don't get caught because everybody's going to make fun of you. So just score.
So you were more scared of what would happen if you didn't get in the end zone than you were happy that you were getting in the
definitely,
end zone.
Definitely. If I didn't get in and I got back to the sideline, I already know, like, you know, Mason and, you know, and Quincy, all those guys would have jumped on me and started making fun of me from the get-go.
So, you know, to get your first NFL touchdown, it's been a few days now. Pretty cool?
It still is, man. Just that feeling because, you know, somebody in my position can go a long time without ever scoring, you know, and just to kind of get that one. I was talking to Dallas Clark this morning about it too, and I was just like, I don't know how you guys do it because I was tired after that. Just the adrenaline makes you tired of running, just thinking somebody's about to catch you and tackle you. So I give the offense guys a lot more credit now, you know, that I was able to run in there. And mine was only 30 yards. Doug had, what, like a 70, 80-yard run.
A couple times.
In Oakland. So I don't know how
quarter.
Yeah, I don't know how he did it. I give him credit, though.
Okay, so, you know, you score that touchdown, and, oh, by the way, you still got to play the whole second half. And, you know, this game was a back-and-forth game. It did not resolve itself really until the last couple of minutes when Rivers threw the final interception. There were a lot of big plays in his football game, is my point, back and forth.
There were, and that's something we got to get better at as a defense. You know, stopping the run and playing physical, you know, we do that, and we're making a name for ourselves. But now stopping the big pass plays against a lot of these quarterbacks that are, you know, top quarterbacks, Pro Bowl quarterbacks, that's something – we've taken to the practice field and just pride ourselves on because that's going to make us all-around great defense.
You can join us on the phones, by the way, tonight here on Buccaneers Total Access. If you want to say hey to Adam, if you got questions, do so at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free wherever you can hear the show, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 as you can dial us up and, again, ask questions, comments, whatever the case is, toll-free outside of the area there with that number. By the way, you can also tweet me a question tonight if you want. Do so at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy, for your Twitter questions and comments. You know, back to the difference in the second half. I know I don't have to tell you this because you guys were watching it on tape Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Phillip Rivers was lights out for a lot of that first half. They scored 3 touchdowns. The second half, they score 3 points. You pick him off twice. What? Put your finger on a thing or two that were the big differences in obviously being able to slow them down, if not shut them down, in the second half of that game.
A lot of it just came down to, you know, when we're blitzing, finishing. You know, a lot of us, you know, we've got taught a different technique on how to blitz, and that's the biggest thing was finishing and getting in his way. You know, you might not get the sack, but if you're in his way, you know, you're going to disrupt the throw, you know, from point A. You know, you disrupt it by the time it gets to point B. I mean, that's going to be a 6-yard, you know, difference, you know, in the complete pass. So, you know, that, you know, we're going to be there to pick the ball off or make plays, make tackles, big hits, and force fumbles, all sorts of different things. And we kind of got into that and focused in halftime on that and just finishing plays instead of just kind of being there and kind of not tackling like the way we started, you know, all year.
We made mention of Leonard Johnson a couple times already here in the show. I mean, Hollywood doesn't buy the script on this. I mean, it's real life. A kid, we've been saying this all week, a kid that grew up rooting for the Bucs, played high school football locally, and here he is in a Buccaneer game, in a regular season game, in a Buck jersey in the fourth quarter with a ball being thrown to him, racing down the sideline for a touchdown. How fun was that as a defensive unit to watch that play again a couple of times together?
When we watch it, usually when you make a play, it's not too fun when you watch it as a unit because everybody kind of just makes fun of each other. You know, him almost getting caught by a lineman or something. And but just when you're out there, though, to see something like that happen, like I said before, just a momentum changer and just to score points on defense, that's how you know you're going to be a good team when your defense scores points, you know, and gets the ball back for the offense. Because, like I said before, our offense is on fire. You know, Josh is controlling that thing. and he's got a lot of dangerous weapons out there, and we can utilize all of them. So
it bears repeating. We sound like broken records. In 37 years, the Buccaneers have not had a stretch of offense like what we've seen now over the last five games, ever, even in the Super Bowl years.
That was a defense.
John Gruden obviously was an offensive mind, but the success that these guys are having and the points that are being scored, it's something totally different for Buccaneer fans to get to watch and to get to see. All right, so we've got much to cover with Adam here tonight. We obviously will talk more about the Carolina Panthers, talk a little bit about his story as well, too. Jump aboard on the phones. We'll take your comments, your opinions as we go along. It's a Friday night. It is Buccaneers Total Access, and we'll be right back on the Buccaneers Radio Network. All right, we are back in here with number 57, Adam Hayward, here on this Friday night. Again, you can join us this evening on Buccaneers Total Access on the phones at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. As we get ready for the matchup with the Carolina Panthers, the rematch coming up. All right, let's get to the phones. Let's go to the first caller, and I think something might be up here. We go to Jason on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Jason.
Hey, what's going on?
I hear laughter from Adam. And you recognize Jason, why?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's my little brother right there.
Okay, so Jason, what's going on?
Nothing, just listening to him on the radio. I just wanted to give him props for that touchdown. I think that was the greatest thing I've seen since he's been in the NFL. I mean, I literally almost jumped on the field when he picked it up and scored.
Really? Yeah. All right, so this is just a free opportunity here on Total Access on the radio.
The thing,
you can put your brother on the spot. You can do whatever you want here.
He wouldn't do that.
Listen to that threat. Listen to the little quick threat. No, he wouldn't.
Now, the thing that was awesome about that, too, is it was military appreciation.
Right.
And, you know, my little brother served, you know, in the Army, and my sister-in-law, and they were there wearing all sorts of, you know, their gear and stuff. It was cool just to kind of have that moment with my family being there too.
Jason, where were you sitting Sunday at Raymond James Stadium? Were you near that end zone?
No, I wish I was, because I really would have jumped down there. No, I was in the section 207.
So you were up higher, so he couldn't get to you quick enough.
Did you find him
when you ran in the end zone? Because you were pointing to somebody. Were you looking for brother and sister-in-law, or what were you doing?
I don't even know, man. When the end zone got there, like I said, I just kind of didn't – I figured I was going to dance, and I got there. I didn't do anything. I just was out of breath and was like, man, I got to run down on kickoff next. So I kind of just –
No, you did a little skip.
Did a little skip. All right, let's have some fun, Jason. If Adam was not going to be a professional football player, what was he going to be? What do you think he would have ended up being?
That's hard to say. I mean, now I probably would say he would be a farmer.
A farmer? Wait a minute. I've known Adam for several years now. You have agricultural skills here? You can plant and grow?
A little bit. That's more my wife over there.
Okay.
She's a Plant City chick. So.
All right, so she can plant and grow.
Yeah, okay. Country girl.
All right. Nothing else to embarrass Adam with, Jason, that we can air on the radio? Nothing else good?
We actually got a nickname for him. His nickname is Pastor John Deere.
Pastor John Deere. And this is he's laughing, and this is because...
Because he's a Christian. He's real. He's got me and my wife really into Christianity and going to church.
But where does the John Deere part come? Does he preach sermons on a John Deere? What is that all about?
He's gone country. I don't know what happened when he was in college and stuff like that. I mean, when he moved to Florida, he just went country. And I mean, it's awesome for him. He does the boar hunting and all that stuff. And
yeah, I just got back quail hunting on Tuesday on an off day. I went quail hunting and stuff. So
definitely all right.
Fish.
Well,
hunt.
Say thank you to your little brother that he didn't embarrass you too much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's because I got to see him. His mail's still at my house.
I see. So. Jason, thanks for the phone call.
All right.
So
follow
up on this. You weren't a country music
buff
before getting to the Bucks and before coming to Florida?
I wasn't. And then
what happened?
Florida is beautiful to me. Second best place, Colorado obviously was my number one. Coming out here and just being outdoors, I love being outside, and I just honestly, in God's country, I mean, when you see it's beautiful, you got trees, you got the ocean. You know, I can go one way and hunt, go the other way and fish. So I love it just being out there and chasing
Pastor
stuff.
Pastor John Deere.
Yep.
Okay.
There's nothing like chasing a wild pig through the woods at night.
Okay. So let's pick up on that here on Total Access with Adam Hayward. The first time that somebody talked to you about going boar hunting, you couldn't have said, yeah, that sounds great to me that we're going to go in the dark with a knife and go try to find an animal.
I did.
Yes.
I did. I definitely.
You weren't a little.
Yeah.
But I mean, you weren't.
I was. No, there's no hesitation. I'm an extremist. You know, I used to do all sorts of things, ride motorcycles, stunt ride, do all that stuff until Kellen and them kind of got that kicked out of the NFL. So, I mean, if anybody says, let's go try something that's adrenaline, I'm sure. Let's go. Let's skydive. Let's do something crazy.
Well, my point is, you don't go boar hunting in the daytime, or do you?
In the morning, you can.
Oh, okay. I didn't think that. I thought that they primarily
in the
laid
morning.
Low.
In the morning, they get up and eat, rest all day, and then at nighttime, get up and eat some more. So,
who did you go quail hunting with, if it's any of our business?
Yeah, it's actually we started a little own group called Buffalo Boys, and he's like my best friend. He's my Buffalo Boy, we call it, because we went to Maryland and probably – you know, got about 150 ducks. And
really?
Yeah, and that's all we do. That's my
How often will you hunt? I mean, you can't hunt during the season as much, only on Tuesday off day, but how much will you hunt in the off season?
Probably 3 to 4 times a week.
Wow.
Well, now I got a baby on the way with my wife, so
until
I'm going to get a lot until get about March when our baby's due, our baby girl, and then a little bit after that, then I'm going to secretly slip out of the house and leave the baby duties to her.
Probably not likely there that you would sneak out on that. But
No, I'll just buy her stuff, and then I'll be like, oh, look what I bought for you and the baby, and then I can sneak out or something. Yeah.
All right, so we've talked to you before on Total Access, but I've not had a chance to talk to you about this part. I mean, the fact that you've gotten married, you're now a husband, that you're about to be a dad. How cool is that in addition to playing football for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
It's awesome. You know, it feels like things – you know, are aligned right, you know, things with God, and he's taking care of me, giving me a family and a little girl on the way, which I never thought I'd have. And everyone keeps telling me I needed it. So it's kind of going to be a good thing to kind of humble me and stuff. And things are going well this year with football. I mean, we started a little rocky in some games, but I mean, our record is on the up, and this team is a playoff team for sure. So, I mean, just things are going, like I said, going well.
Yeah, as a father of twin daughters, let me advise you that your best bet is to listen to the boss over there when it comes to your daughter, because they're going to be, you know, they're going to be relentless on trying to get you to do whatever it is that they want to do.
Yeah.
You got to find out what the boss says, and then
that's what everyone keeps saying, because everyone knows that I'm a sucker and I'm going to be whatever.
You're supposed
whatever
to be
say.
This tough football player.
I'm supposed to be, but we all know. It's like with my nephew. I mean, he can come in the house and break these. Everything, and I'll just be like, oh, it's okay, you know, he gives you that little look, and so God only knows what's going to happen with my daughter. So
all right, so this is all good stuff here with Adam Hayward, and again, we'll go through some of your story as we go along here, but you're we'll go back to the phones just a second too. If you're waiting there, hang on. Fans may not be familiar with this. You played college ball all the way out in Portland, Oregon, at Portland State, and were an outstanding, you were the Big Sky Defensive Player of the Year, accomplished player in Portland, Oregon. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if I remember correctly in your story, may not have even been on your radar. Did you even know the Bucs existed when you were out there playing West Coast football?
I did when I was at Colorado State. I did. And I, in high school, I ran track, and my track coach was actually a receiver back in the day for Tampa.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was this now? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. You're going to call
it's okay.
me
on this. That's
Give me
okay.
a second. It's been what?
We'll come up with it.
It's been like 12 years or
That's
something.
That's all right. But he ran track for the Bucs, and he was coaching you in track where, in California?
Yeah, in California, yeah.
In
he played
school.
Receiver for the Bucs a little bit in high school, yeah. And then
so you knew about the Buccaneers.
I did. And the funny thing is, before I got drafted, he was like, you're going to go there. Just the scheme and the way they are, he's like, I have a feeling you're going to get picked up by Tampa. I kept telling him. I was like, nah, I don't know. And sure enough, they did. And he called me and was like, what did I tell you? So
here you are 7 years later.
Yeah. Or six years later,
hoping
to be seven. 6 years later, trying to do everything I can and just stay here and try to you know, make the playoffs again and hopefully get to the Super Bowl.
One of the things that you have always talked about, and, you know, you were looking around in the room where we do the shows, by the way, there are photos of certain players. There is a photo of Shelton Quarles, who still works in the Buccaneer organization in the pro personnel department. You mirror him, and I know you know this because you've talked to him, because the way that Shelton got on the roster and stayed on the roster initially was special teams.
Yeah.
And it afforded him the opportunity to hang in there, continue to battle, and eventually became a starting linebacker. You know, that's an interesting comparison because, again, you're kind of on the same path of you've stayed on the team by being a great special teams tackler in particular. Now, you know, here you are on the roster, unfortunately an injury to Quincy Black, but you're going to get a chance to play some on Sunday at linebacker. It's kind of interesting how that works out with you and Q.
Definitely. Shelton's he's been a lot of help, you know, ever since I've gotten here. He's been around. It just always – he messes with me a lot, but no, he helps me out. He definitely special teams. I was trying to go after his tackling record, but we don't kick the ball like we used to anymore since we moved up. They go out of bounds a lot, so it's probably not going to happen, but he still thinks it's because he's fast or something along those lines.
So you're saying if he didn't have as many touchbacks, you'd have his special teams tackles?
I definitely have more tackles, more special team tackles than Shelton.
Just say something again before we go to the phones here about versatility and about, you know, being able to do multiple things. Well, that's one of the ways to stay on an NFL roster. It's one of the ways you've stayed on an NFL roster.
Yeah, it helps, man. I'm not, you know, coming into this thing, I never knew that. You know, when you come into this thing, you want to be that guy. You want to be that Derek Brooks, Shelton Quarles. You know, you want to be that Rondae Barber. But it doesn't work out that way. You know, I came in behind Derek Brooks, you know, and there's no way I'm going to start over that guy. So it's kind of sat back, and he taught me a lot of things, and Shelton, like I said, and Ryan Neese, just to kind of how to be on the team and learn and get in your book and know things. And I mean, from that point on, I was able to know all three positions. So at that drop of a hat, I'm in there playing, you know, Sam, the next Mike, then Will, without skipping a beat, you know. And that's, it's not easy. It definitely isn't. When you're out of practice too and you're thinking about, you know, Sam, and you're playing Sam, then all of a sudden you got to go in and do Mike or something. Now you got to switch, you know, and it's hard. But, you know, I take pride in that, and it keeps you around because you look at a team, I mean, that's less people that they need in that position if they have somebody that does all of it.
Back to the phones here on Buccaneers Total Access with Adam Hayward on this Friday night. Here's Eddie in Tampa. You are on here with Adam. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, Adam, how are you, buddy? Hey, I heard your testimony, a great family, very impactful a couple of years ago. And I'm wondering about your versatility, which Jay was just talking about. Apparently, you can play all three linebacker positions. How will that, without giving away any secrets, how will that impact the game on Sunday?
You know what? Going into the game, I'm going to play Sam, you know.
Explain, because not all the fans know the code names of Sam, Will, right, and Mike.
Just one of the outside linebackers spots. We'll just keep it at that.
Gotcha.
And, where Quincy was due to, you know, what happened to Quincy and the choices the coaches made. They felt like I was going to go in that position and I'll do a good job. So I went in and played, and so I'm just going to focus on that.
What's the biggest difference playing outside linebacker versus playing inside linebacker? For fans that wonder, aren't they about the same thing? Not necessarily.
No, in the inside you get a lot more of the lineman coming up at you. You know, on the outside you kind of set the edges and you know, stop the ball from bouncing outside. So it's a different world. You know, your keys are different, what you're looking at, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. There's a lot of it's different. So, I mean, there's a lot to it. You know, it's not easy, but once you kind of get them all down, it's easier to jump in and out of spots.
Back to Sunday and Quincy and the scary moment Sunday where he went down, and thankfully he's all right and released from the hospital. But to you specifically, the stadium hushes. You're concerned for him. You're concerned as a teammate. He's carted off the field, and now the game is going to resume, and the coaching staff is saying to you, we got to have you. Get out there. Was it difficult for a half second, or did you click right away, okay, got to put this behind you and be ready to go play football?
It was tough. I mean, that's my dude. You know, I've been with him since 07, and, and I broke my heart. I mean, I was in tears. I guess it was on TV, too. Somebody said they saw me. When you see a guy like Quincy who does everything right and works hard, you know, go down like that, and it's scary, you know. It like I said, it kind of hurt, but I knew – that I had to go in. I already knew, and Rondae kind of grabbed me and told me, he's like, it's your time. He's like, we got to finish the game. We got to win. So, you know, you got to step up and do your job and let's go. So I kind of just did what I had to and finished out the game and felt like I did a pretty good job.
Sure, and you will get more opportunities here along the way. And the good news is that Quincy was released from the hospital.
Yes.
And
you know, a lot better,
it's one of those things, too, where they're going to take every precaution with what they did. You would want that. I would want that. Anybody else that's in that position would want that. They're going to take every precaution there on that. But I kept saying to people all week, for the players that then had to go and immediately play, that's a difficult thing for everybody. Whether you knew Quincy as well as you did, or if you're the Chargers and you don't really know him at all, it's still got to be a difficult thing to watch that and now let's go play.
It is. This game is definitely, you know, people always constantly ask, like, how can you do it? I mean, they say it's equivalent to taking your car and driving 23 miles per hour into a brick wall. That's what it's like hitting somebody over and over and over. You kind of get used to it. You know, that's part of the game. You know, you thank God that it didn't happen to you, but at the same time, you got a job to do, and, you know, that's what they pay us for. So you kind of put it in the back of your head and just pray that it's not going to happen to you and go out there and just play football.
And that's what you did. That's what your teammates did and got a third consecutive victory. We will have much more on the show here tonight. We'll talk more specifically about the Carolina Panthers, too. Again, join us on the phones, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. More with Adam Hayward on this Friday night on Buccaneers Total Access. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Mike Cyphers to punt. Bucks are coming after it. Oh, we block it. We block the punt. The ball picked up by the Buccaneers. Us down the court to the 10-yard line. Watson.
Adam Hayward.
Hayward. Adam Hayward's got a Buccaneer touchdown and a block punt. Dakota Watson with a block. And Adam Hayward takes it to the promised land.
There you go. So you're saying that's the first time you've heard that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I've been dying just to hear that. I never thought I would, but it was pretty cool to hear that. I don't think I'll ever let that go. I'll be telling my daughter's kids that story.
Yeah, Mean Gene, they're calling the highlight of Adam Hayward on the block punt as we come back in on Buccaneers Total Access. I asked you this Sunday after the game, and so I gotta get a follow-up here on Friday night. Where's the football going? What are you going to do with it?
To be quite honest, it's kind of disappointing. I just kind of put it in a closet right now with the rest of my trophy stuff.
After the big buildup of I may never get another one of these again,
it's just in the closet. Yeah, I just took it out of my locker because somebody was making fun of me. So I took it home, and right now my older brother's getting a plaque and stuff made for me. So I put it with the rest of the stuff until we move. Then I leave that to my beautiful wife to fix up the room.
So someday you're going to get to tell your daughter and others – there's my first NFL touchdown, right?
Yep, my first. Hopefully not my only, but definitely my first.
You know, special teams, back to that. A lot of people, you know, they don't maybe take into account the significance of it until you see a play like that. But, I mean, it is a third of the game. And, I wonder for the fans out there, just talk about the amount of time you guys spend on the practice film and in the film room on special teams and its importance.
It's definitely important. A lot of people don't because it's not that exciting, you know, offense, defense, football. But if you ask anybody, you know, who's often, if you ask Vincent Jackson, then when he had to play special teams, it's probably the hardest thing to do because it's a straight dogfight for, you know, 20 to 30 seconds. You're fighting somebody constantly, and the average play in NFL only lasts like 5.5. You know, so that's four plays in a row that you're running down and hitting somebody, and it's definitely hard, and it takes just as much film study. And Coach Schiano is not a coach to just kind of look at it as like, oh, it's special teams. You know, we'll just cross that bridge when we get there. That's an important part, you know, in his scheme. Like you said, because we didn't just happen to accidentally block a punt. I mean, we've I think the stat was there's 9 block punts last year, and I think this year we have three or four already. You know, and that's this team, and the whole NFL there was 9 last year. So it's definitely not something you just kind of go out there and hope happens. It's something you scheme up and watch.
And if fans didn't catch it, there were 9 in the whole league, yep. And I believe you guys have 4
already
this season. Yeah. So it is something that you obviously emphasize and have been succeeding on. All right, back to the phones. Here is Pete in Tampa. You're on with Adam Hayward here on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Pete.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my call. Adam, kind of followed you since you came on to the Bucs. So I have no idea why. I've been a longtime season ticket holder, but I always seem to key myself on you. The way you get the crowd fired up before the kickoff, I think it has a lot to do with just your story and some of the things that have been, that we've read throughout the papers. It's real good when you can attach yourself to positive things in a player, man. And I just wanted to say, I know that you're a great man of God and have really strong faith. And your hard work has really paid off. And, I see you out there, and you're going 110%. I'm not saying the other guys aren't, but you just seem to have a – I remember watching a Raheem Morris clip where they showed you, and he was trying to calm you down even. once you get out there, it just becomes – there's a switch, a level that I don't think a lot of players hit. And I just want you to do me one favor, please, because I know you got to blow up Cam Newton this game. I just want to see you do the F. I hope it don't get you in trouble with Shiano, because I know that he's kind of like a no-nonsense coach. But just, man, if you do that for me, I will jump through that TV.
Definitely.
I'll go crazy.
Definitely.
All right, Adam. Well, God bless you and stay healthy this season.
God bless you too, man. Thank you so much.
All right, so in the Denver game, everybody saw this. Von Miller in the first quarter of the Denver game got the sack. You probably saw it on the film that you've been watching this week, and he did the Superman thing. And we saw Cam Newton in 2 games last year do the S several times.
Yeah.
So what about all of that? Is there too much made of all of that?
Honestly, I think everybody kind of does that once you go against him, because he's self-proclaimed him, to be the Superman or something. But he's just
What Gerald said last night just jogged my memory. Gerald said that in the first meeting in week 1, when he tackled Cam in the backfield, he looked over to the sideline and he closed his shirt.
Yeah,
the reverse. So that's the first time I'd heard that. I didn't even remember him doing that.
Definitely, if we get a sack, I'm going to talk to Mason Levante. So one of us do it. We might all do it or something. If we don't get in trouble, but we might do the little Superman, close it back up or something, tie it off or something. Who knows? But it's all fun out there, man. You're just playing a game. At the end of the day, he's still a person, and you can't, with what happened to Quincy, you can't take this for granted. You go out there, you love what you do, and you just play. We get paid to work Monday through Saturday. When Sunday comes, that's fun time. That's the time where, if you do something wrong, oh well, deal with it. You got 60 minutes to play a football game, and things are going to happen. It's football. If everything went right, the game would be boring, and it doesn't. So you just got to go out there and play lights out and just have fun. And that's the thing that I love about what Shiano does, and he puts it on his coaching staff too, is don't go over there and yell and talk to the players. And the players are the ones who are playing. So, Monday through Saturday, that's when they're going to address us, yell at us, do our things, get on us. But when that Sunday comes, it's game time. Make your quick point, fix whatever the problem is, but don't, get in these guys' heads. Let them play football. Let them play fast. And you can see that, it's carried over to the way our defense has been playing. And now we have to come out and play this game, because this is a good team we're about to play.
A couple people on Twitter have some things to say or questions. Horace says, let Adam know that we expect great things from him Sunday. No pressure. He's being sarcastic. Go Bucks. Philip says, how are the responsibilities of the linebackers different in this system than last year's system? Is it similar in the defensive systems, or, changes to get used to?
Not a lot of changes. This is a completely different system, scheme. And the thing about this is everybody has responsibility. And if you don't do it, you're going to get exposed. If you're not the person turning the ball back, you're going to get exposed. If you're not the person falling through on a blitz, you're going to get exposed. It's going to be a deep pass, and you don't want to leave people on an island. You don't want to leave Biggers, Rondé, Mark, all those guys, Ahmad, chasing people all day, because you're not going to win when you're running around chasing somebody, So the scheme's different. The linebackers, we all got to play fast and downhill, and like I said, it's just different, and it's fast. When you get it, it's fast football.
Lavonte David has come in as a rookie. He had
Lolo.
A game. Lolo, as
Lolo.
You keep calling. You can call him Lolo. I don't know that I'm allowed to call him. But Lavonte had 16 tackles in the Oakland game. He had 14 more last week. I see the smile on your face right now for the radio audience. What about that young man and the impact that he has made tackling ball carriers and guys catching the ball out of the backfield?
It's funny you ask me that because I was just having this conversation the other day. I think we were on the sideline of practice, but I remember when we first drafted him, like, why? You know, who's this kid? But in this scheme and the way he plays, I mean, the guy weighs. I always make fun of him. I say he's like 215, but he's heavier. But and he can hit. He can run. He's smart. He's going to be a great football player. His biggest thing is just staying healthy, and I stay on him. You know, Rondé and myself, because our locker's right by him, and we tell him, like, the things outside of football you got to do to take care of your body so you can last, because this is a brutal sport. Because that kid's got – he's got it all. I mean, that kid is – like I said, he's fast, smart. The guy's controlling defense, playing 80 plays, playing, you know, so many plays, making big plays too. It's not like he's going to hit you and you're going to kind of wrap and roll or fall down. Like, he's going to run through you. And it's exciting. I get so excited every time I see him smash somebody. I'm like halfway on the field getting yelled at to get back, you know.
All right, so wait a minute. Does he like to be called Lolo, or is this a veteran versus a rookie thing where you're just going to call him Lolo?
Nah, we all started calling him in the linebacker room Lolo, and it just stuck. And eventually everyone, the Coach Frazier and Coach Cox started calling him that. And I had his family calling him that after a game. I was yelling out the window, and he had a bunch of his family there, and they just all started calling him Lolo. And so I think it was in a newspaper article, so it's sticking. That's his nickname.
All right, so Lolo is for anybody else got a decent one? What do they call you? Anything?
No.
Old man?
Everything. They call
got
me.
Got some young guys.
Melting pot, old man, grandpa, everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So you get all of that.
I get all that, yeah.
Well, Rondé was telling us earlier in the season, for some reason, the young guys got to started calling him in training camp Unk.
Yeah.
And that stuck.
Yeah, which is.
But you don't call him Unk.
Not at all. I call him Dede. I've been around him for a very long time.
You call him Dede. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is crazy because they call him Unk and then they call me Grandpa, so I don't understand when he's been.
Because Rondé would be older than you.
Yeah. He's been in forever, so I. But I call him. That's Dede to me.
Little bit on the nicknames here tonight on Total Access. All right, so back to your story for a second. And again, you can join us on the phones, 990-4620 if you got questions, comments, 727-461-4620 if you're in Pinellas. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. Back to your story and going from being a collegiate player where you played a ton and had a ton of success – back to that whole mentality of I'm only getting to play every once in a while, or I'm a reserve. How hard was that to adjust to, and how has it made you better now that you get opportunities to play like what we're going to see moving forward, Adam?
In the beginning, it's hard for anybody. I mean, because you come into this thing thinking NFL, I'm getting drafted, I'm going to play. You know, Rich Versace, he was my mentor in a sense as far as on the field and doing things out there. Told me, man, you can make a living in this league on special teams and doing things like this. And always kept me grounded in that area, and I really bought into it. Like I said, I had like Shelton's prime example. You know, you never know when your opportunity is going to come up. And it lets you play free. I mean, you sit back and you want to be a guy that makes a difference. So I knew special teams was going to be one, and I just tried to make a way, and, you know, to get out there and play and stay on the field there. And then after I accomplished that, then it starts learning the linebacker positions. And then when something happens, the coach has got to trust you, and then you show them trust, and then you go in and make plays. And then, you know, the rest is history, as you see with Shelton.
You mentioned Derek Brooks, and whenever you bring up those kind of names, the Buccaneer fans perk up wherever they're listening. That's like Buccaneer royalty.
Yeah.
What did you learn, one or two things from Derek Brooks that you are still applying to this very second in your NFL career?
Note-taking. That's one thing. I mean, that man's played for so many years, and every single year. And the same thing with Rondé. They have books of notes. It doesn't matter what year it is for them. If you're in a meeting, you got your highlighter and pen out, and you're taking notes. And, I mean, that's something I do. I just take notes. Even if we get copies of it, I'll write stuff on there and highlight. And, I mean, that's one thing that Derek said.
How does that help you? Taking those notes.
I mean, it's just like with anything.
Reminders?
Just reminders. I mean, I could write the same thing that they printed out down, you know, just doing it over and over, and you see it, and it just makes things click because then you start seeing, you know, that note or that picture. You remember things. Okay, when they do this, it's going to be this, or, you know, and it's just little things. Those are the things in the game that, you know, you got to take home and do outside of work.
I don't know if this still goes on, but I remember talking to Derek. I remember talking to Ryan Neese, Shelton Quarles, that they would always get in at 6 in the morning. Derek was always in at 6 in the morning. They started showing up with him. Were you ever in on some of that to come in early and put extra film work in, yep, even in the dark before the day begins with practice? What about that?
Definitely. I was the 6 a.m. group. I get here about, I don't know, probably now. I'm a little lazier. I get here about 6:10, 6:15. But I'm one of the first people here, you know, and getting the body right and doing things. And when they played, they didn't have the technology we did. So now we got iPads. So, I mean, I take that thing wherever I go, and I can watch, you know, the opponent from wherever I am. If I'm getting, you know, a treatment or something worked on or going to do something, I can just pull that out and start watching.
How many Carolina games have you watched this week? 2, 5, 7? Probably, have you watched all of them?
Yeah, probably about all of them. And then I watch clips, the cut-ups over and over and over and over. And then if something comes up that I don't – and that's the thing, you know, with these coaches too. If it's something that comes up, and even if you should know the answer, sometimes it's something, you know, you're not even thinking about that. And they bring up that question, and they love when you bring up the question because it means you're learning and you want to know.
Interesting, because it's an evolving league. You got to make changes. Carolina had some success, obviously, last year, especially against the Bucks in the two meetings. I don't have to tell you that. You guys had a lot of success in game number one against them. Does it look in recent games that they're still doing a lot of the stuff they did last year or in week one, or have they begun to try to change some of it because they've struggled some now this season? What does it look like just in generic terms?
They're still doing a lot of this similar stuff, man. It's a good team. You know, their record doesn't speak that way. But if you look at their stats, I mean, they're top in the NFL in a lot of areas, you know, offensive and defensively. They've just had some bad, bad losses. But, you know, once they get going, that's going to be a team that's good and explosive. So, I mean, we're not taking this lightly. You never can in the NFL. I mean, any given Sunday, anything can happen. You know, I think the average point deficit of games is 7 points, you know, so you never know what's going to happen. And you go in there to a game with a team like this that can have explosive plays, and go in there and think you're going to beat them, you're going to find out real quick. You're going to get your butt kicked.
Well, and I know Cam is new, but D'Angelo Williams has been there. Stewart's been there. Steve Smith has been there. I'm sure, you know, you're nodding along here. You've seen those guys for years and years in this division, and here we go again with those guys.
Yeah, they're top players. Those are definitely top players. I mean, you got Greg Olsen, the tight end. Like, those are players that have been really, really good, you know. So you have great players. So it's just a matter of once they start clicking, you know, they're going to be a scary team, and we don't want that to be on us, so we got to go in there, play smart, play fast.
There is Adam Hayward. We've got more with him, more on the Panthers. We'll get in another call or two if you desire. Do so at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. We'll be back on this Friday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We are back with number 57, Adam Hayward, here on this Friday night as the Bucs get set to take on the Carolina Panthers on Sunday at 1 o'clock rematch in Charlotte after a week one 16-10 victory for Tampa Bay, going for the season sweep, going for 4 in a row. Last time Buccaneers won 4 games in a row was 2008, so yeah. That would be a nice trend to go and get that on Sunday. All right, I got to bring this up on the air because we started talking off the air and I had to stop because it's good stuff. All right, names for the baby. This is first baby coming.
Yeah.
Wife looked over at you and said it's all on you.
Yeah, because she knows that I want it to be perfect, which it's not going to be, but we're looking at Jaslyn Faye Hayward.
And why Jaslyn? Tell me the story.
Well, Jaslyn, you know, I work a lot in Haiti. I got a school over there with a couple friends of mine that are over there now. We're building up a huge school and working with orphan kids. And one of the girls that was there, just sweetest girl ever, tough story, and just kind of fell in love with her and wanted to adopt her. But just the way it worked out, when I had people go back there, she was gone. And a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people were fully aware, but in Haiti, there's a lot of children trafficking.
Right.
And so she was believed to be sold, and so can't find her. So I wanted to name my daughter after her, just kind of do that, just as a remembrance. I got pictures of her and stuff, and she just kind of seeing that picture just helps me. Like, there's more to life than just the things I do. And then we went with Faye. We named her that after my wife's, her grandma. And she's
I'm told apparently grandma might be listening. So shout out to grandma.
Definitely. She's listening. Shout out. That's the sweetest lady I've ever met in my life. Biggest Buck fan too. I don't think there's anyone out there that's a bigger Buck fan than her, or football fan in general. But sweetest lady. And
what did Grandma Faye have to say about the block punt for the touchdown? Did she break down your running style? Did she want to know where the ball is? What's the story?
She's excited. I think she texted my wife as soon as it happened and blew up her phone. she called her. Yeah, apparently she called her. But we wanted to put her in the baby's name also because we love her. And Faye is, I believe it's faith. It means faith and like hope and all that stuff also. So
how about that?
Yeah.
My two's middle names are Faith and Hope, so I'm right with you there on the Faith. Love that. What a great story. You know what? You have taken some trips overseas with the troops. You were talking about military appreciation back earlier in the show, but you've gone to a couple places. I think you went to Kuwait and went to a couple of different places to go see the military. What was that like?
That's awesome. I have the utmost respect for people in the military. I mean, from my father to my brother and sister. Just to be there and just to see the things they do and the sacrifices they make for us to basically do whatever we want in this country. It's crazy. And when I went to South Korea, I mean, they're in the middle of nowhere, you know, sitting on the border between, you know, South Korea and North Korea, day in and day out, just, you know, at that attention, ready to go if anything happens, just to see the way they live their life. It's crazy. That's probably the craziest one because I got to go into the DMZ where they have the meetings, and I got to actually cross over in the meeting hall and be on the North Korean side next to the soldiers. That definitely was the thrill. And knowing that these soldiers are the highest martial arts experts in the world.
Wow.
It's pretty intense because if you, like, touch them or get too close to them, they're allowed to actually just take you down in a few moves. And I definitely pushed the limit. I tried to get as close as I could, and somebody had to tell me, stop, dude, they're going to hit you, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to see real life action. You get drop kicked by a martial arts guy.
I think I remember talking to you a little bit about this, that you were so enamored with them and the military and their stories, and they want to talk to you about football, NFL, America, anything with that, right? It's an interesting opposite,
it is.
Right?
I mean, I got to watch the Super Bowl on a aircraft carrier. I was up, and it was because of the time change. I think it was like 3 in the morning. Or like 2 in the morning.
And the troops are up watching the Super Bowl.
Oh, they're up. And I probably had 15 Red Bulls or something so I could stay up the whole night because I've been flying from ship to ship, and so I'm sitting there talking to them about their life and being at sea for like 8 months, and you know, just they see each other for 8 months. I mean, I couldn't imagine seeing everybody in a locker room every single day, all day for 8 months. At least I get to leave,
right?
You know, and like I said, they just all they're talking about football. I loved it because, you know, I'm love talking to people and you know, kind of sharing my experiences in life and listening to theirs. So it was awesome.
Well, someday you're going to get to tell Jaslyn about watching the Super Bowl on an aircraft carrier. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
Not everybody gets to do something like that.
Yeah, and the best part was landing, you know, flying in a C-130 and landing on an aircraft carrier and taking off on that thing. That was awesome. I mean, it's like the best roller coaster ride because you're sitting there in the seat locked in. They got these crazy seat belts so you can't go flying, and they shoot you like out of a cannon. That's what it feels like. You're on this little catapult ring and it just flies you off the ship.
So, I mean, you've had some experiences there. I mean, let's bring this back to Buccaneer home games. So when they do those flyovers and you're standing there with your helmet off, I see you shaking your head
I love that.
I mean, that gets you ready to play. If you weren't ready, you're now ready.
I think every single place that's open should have a flyover. It's honoring and it's the most like you said, just the thrill and just that feeling it gets just to see those people fly over. And it's just like, this is what they do for their, you know, this is their living. This is their job. They protect us. And we get to go out here and do this. It's the greatest feeling. I get goosebumps thinking about it now.
Give it back to the military. I thought it was cool in Oakland. We don't see this all the time. They had the helicopters.
Yeah.
They had the Black Hawk helicopters flying
that
over. And we have the jets. We had the big C-130 that was flying over Sunday from the Coast Guard.
Which I saw. Yeah, I looked up too because I always look up.
That was a huge plane.
And they had their the back open. And it reminded me because when we were flying over there, they did that for us over where were we?
Probably in the Middle East.
Somewhere in the Middle East. Yeah, what is Dubai? We flew over Dubai real low. and they dropped the back so I can lean out and take pictures of it. So, yeah. It was,
you were still strapped.
Yeah, I was strapped in. They had this little strap thing.
They just kind of hung you out.
Yeah, so you can hang out and you take pictures. Yeah, yeah. That was pretty – it was awesome.
So it's not enough to run down on kickoff 100 miles an hour and try to go tackle somebody, but you got to hang out the back of a C-130.
Yeah, my next venture is the skydive. By myself. So.
Why in the world? I do not understand the fascination with jumping out of a perfectly working airplane.
I don't know. It's just that.
Something you just want to do?
Something I want to do.
Does anybody else on the team skydive that got you interested in this, or you just want to do it?
Like I said before, man, if there's something crazy extreme that I was like, I don't want to do that, that I'm going to do that. Swimming with sharks. I go free diving, so. That's my next thing. One of my buddies has actually killed a tiger shark because it almost attacked him. So,
yeah, you're almost your own walking reality show here, whether it's hunting or the flights or the diving.
If you were going to ask me what I'm going to do after football, I really want to start a reality hunting TV show. With my best friend, Buffalo Boy. We'll probably call it like Buffalo Boys or something, and just go around doing. We do every. If you're all like. Right. Do you hunt this? Yes.
Look out for these two guys. We got about 3 minutes left here. Back to the Carolina Panthers. You guys had so much success, especially stopping the run in game number one. I know it's 9 weeks later, but what do you build off of after what you did very well in the first meeting with Carolina?
You know what? Our defense, another thing, like I said, that I love about just the system and the way we attack things is we take games one game at a time. It's a one game season, and right now it's the Carolina one, and we're focusing on the number one thing is stopping the run again. It doesn't matter who we play, it's stop the run, get the ball back. And that's, I mean, once you establish that you're there to play football, you know, it kind of takes the offense back. You know, they kind of sit back on their heels, like, okay, what are we going to do now? And then we get them into big situations where they have to force throws. Cam Newton feels like he's going to have to force a throw in there, and then that's when you get Rondae Barber, Ahmad Black, EJ Biggers, you know, Leonard Johnson. You know, you can get hopefully myself or another one by Mason Foster, or Levante. He needs one too. You know, just get an interception or something. And just make plays. You know, let them come to you and just make them.
What about playing them at their place here? Because they're a 2-7 team, but they are still dangerous. They are at home, division rival.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it is or what it is. When you're playing a road game, man, it's tough. You know, and going there to play, it's going to be a tough game.
Having done it, though, at the Metrodome and at Oakland, and in both of those cases, you know, the Vikings and the Raiders were making plays in the second half and the fourth quarter. You guys weathered it and won the game. How much does that help for Sunday?
It helps. It definitely helps. But like I said, we take it one game at a time. Knowing that we can finish games is going to be our biggest thing. We just got to go from start to finish and play a whole football game this time.
Well said by Adam Hayward. Listen, you were a treat here tonight. Congratulations on marriage, baby, the whole bit. We'll see you out there on Sunday. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
There is number 57, Adam Hayward. My thanks to Eric Sachs tonight back at the station. Also, Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. Bucks and Panthers coming Sunday from Charlotte. We're on the air at noon. 1 o'clock is kick time. We'll talk to you then on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.